There was a local Lutheran church that during Advent, they thought that they would add a service to their weekend services. It was going to be on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. And on the first Sunday of Advent, there was a no good guy who was down and out on his luck, a robber, who had read about this in the local paper. And so he was hidden across the street from the senior pastor's house watching on that Sunday evening about 4:30 when the senior pastor left his house. The guy knew that nobody else was there, and so the coast was clear. He went in, he jimmied the front door, and he walked into the house, into the living room, had a little flashlight, and he heard this voice, not quite human, not quite mechanical, go, Jesus is coming. A little freaked up by that, he walked a little farther into the house. The floorboards of the living room were creaking, and again he heard this voice, Jesus is coming. And he looked around, he thought it was coming from the kitchen. So he walked into the kitchen with his flashlight. It was dark, but he sensed that there was something right in front of him, right in the kitchen, and he looked up, shined his flashlight, big bird cage, about eye level, big parrot, looked at him, says, Jesus is coming. Sort of relieved. And so he walked a little further into the kitchen, he heard this noise coming up from the basement. He whipped around with his flashlight, and he saw the biggest Rottweiler dog he had ever seen. And the parrot goes, sick him, Jesus. So Jesus is coming. And it is, let me think, I checked my calendar, it is December 11th. So that means in two weeks, it's what? Christmas. So the question is, are you ready? And I guess I thought I'd like to do a little bit of a quick informal survey. So is there anybody here, I'm just curious, who you have all your presents bought and wrapped and underneath the tree, you have all your presents bought, wrapped, and shipped off to people, loved ones far off who may be away, you need to get them shipped off. You also have the entire house decorated inside and outside. You also have all your Christmas cards done. They're sent out. You've got everything scheduled. And now you can just sit and pray and wait. Anybody here like that? Probably not. Yeah, we have a couple people who are. God bless you for that. But I think for most of us, that may seem somewhat unrealistic and unattainable. Because on the one side, over here, we have the culture. The culture is just screaming at us, right? I mean, talk about commercialism and trying to sell us everything under the sun, under the guise of the holidays and Christmas. So then on this side, we have prayer. We have Advent. We think of the blue that decorates the worship center. And then there we are in the middle of all this. Somebody coined the phrase this last week here on staff, the prayer of collision, because we're in the middle of this time of year. And I have to share with you a pet peeve of mine this time of year, because a lot of the TV ads I really like. They're kind of cool. They're kind of funny. But there's one that I like. I think I need to turn the TV off now when it comes on, where the guy is driving home and, okay, so there's nothing wrong with a Lexus or an Audi or a Mercedes-Benz, all right? I'm not saying anything bad about those. But he drives home with one of these vehicles, has a big red bow on it, and surprise to his wife, I'm like, dude, that wouldn't be a surprise to me or to anybody. They didn't even talk about it. I mean, talk about how the culture is just screaming at us to buy things that we may not need with money we don't have, because it's all part of this Christmas season. So we're focusing on the habit of prayer this month during Advent. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Steve kicked things off on the first Sunday of Advent when he talked about how Advent is blue, and blue indicating the royalty of the King Jesus, Jesus who is coming. He also talked about how maybe we should experiment with prayer since our focus is on prayer and maybe journaling. I don't know how many of you have tried journaling. Also, we've been using the brown beige cards that are in your bulletins even today for you to write down experiences as you experiment with prayer, and about the hope and encouragement that comes with Advent, because we know that Jesus is coming. Then last week, Pastor Mark talked about gutters. Remember gutters, if you were here? Cleaning out our gutters, or whatever it is in our life that gets in the way of us connecting with God, of us praying and being close to Him. And then today, the third Advent candle is lit. And sometimes this Sunday is referred to as Gaudete. Try saying that with me. Gaudete. And Gaudete is a Latin word. It means rejoice. So in the midst of this Advent journey, with everything going on and maybe in the darkness of waiting for Jesus to come, we rejoice, as it says in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And that's what we're going to focus on. It's pretty simple. How do we give thanks in all circumstances? Because here's the reality. And just to set the stage for all of us so that we kind of get clear on this. There may be some of you here, or you know someone, who is unemployed, has been unemployed for a long time with no job prospects. You may know someone, or maybe, hopefully not, maybe you're in the situation where you've gotten behind on your house payments, and there's the looming possibility that the bank could foreclose on your house. Maybe you or somebody you know is suffering from a chronic illness that's just been lingering and lingering and doesn't go away. Or maybe you've had a family member or a close friend who has died recently, and so you're struggling with the reality of that, and how could you give thanks in all circumstances? Or maybe it's simply that you are just burdened. You feel heavy because of the hope and despair in this world, the poverty and the hunger. Maybe that's really getting at you. And so you're really having difficulty thinking about giving thanks in all circumstances. Or maybe it's something entirely different. This is what Leonard Sweet says. Adversity in life is not an indication of God's abandonment or an invitation to despair. Paul insists disciples be thankful because whatever circumstances the world may throw their way, God is always caring, always loving, always present, and so always deserving of continuous thanksgiving. But now, would you agree with me? I mean, let's get really real. Let's get to the bottom line here. This whole thing about giving thanks in all circumstances, it seems kind of unrealistic, doesn't it? I mean, really? In all circumstances? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think, well, you know, that's really for saints. That's for mature Christians. I'm not up to that task. Because I think our human condition presents some issues for us. And number one is, and maybe this is more for a guy, I don't know about you ladies, but I think it's, as humans, we tend to compartmentalize things, right? You come to church and you pray, you listen to the sermon, you sing, and so you got little walls around this. Then you go home, and home is home. And then you go to work, and then work is work. And then you go to the hockey rink is hockey rink. You go to Walmart, Walmart is Walmart. There are walls around all the places and spaces in your lives, and so it doesn't flow all together, so that makes it difficult, this human condition. Or maybe it's hard. You're in a situation where you are just weary. You're just tired. You have lost heart. You don't have the energy or to even think about thanking God. Or maybe it's because, and maybe some of you are in this situation, especially those of you with younger kids, maybe think, I don't have time to give thanks. I mean, I get up in the morning, I hit the ground running, my feet are going, I got a schedule, I go to work, I pick up the kids, I take the kids, I do this, and then it's dinner, and then I got events in the evening, I do this, and then you lay your head down on the pillow at the end of the day, and you go, are you kidding me? I didn't have time to say thanks. The whole day was a blur. How would you expect me to give thanks in a circumstance, situation like that? Or maybe, and maybe you've said this, I've heard people say this, that you've turned the radio on, you know, the radio on to try and listen to God, but he's not on your frequency, on your radio. God is just not speaking to you. You're trying to like, God, are you there? Are you? I'm not hearing from you, God. Maybe you've been in a place like that, and you think, how can I give thanks? He's not even talking to me. Maybe it's something else, or, and this is probably the most insidious and the most subtle of our human condition, maybe, just maybe, things are really going well. You know, you're paying all the bills. You're going to take some time off at Christmas. Things are going great. Kids are doing great. Our grandkids are fantastic. Your job is going great. Things are really rocking. You're hitting on all cylinders. Guess what happens? Guess who you forget about? God. You forget that it's from Him that all these blessings come from. And it's easy. Hey, things are going well. Why do I need to thank God? So how do we do this? That's the question that I have been dealing with and thinking about this last week. I mean, how do you really give thanks in all circumstances with all that going on? I would suggest there are three things, all from Scripture, that may be simple, but they're not easy. The first is, and if you happen to have your Bible, you turn to John, the first chapter. It says in the first chapter, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Because Jesus is coming, we need to remember that He is coming. We lit the Advent candle. That is what we celebrate all during Advent. Jesus is coming. In fact, John was, as you were listening to the gospel, or if you have John open, the later passages in chapter 1, I mean, they were saying, aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you the one? He's like, no, it's not me. You got me mistaken. I'm John the Baptist. I am proclaiming, and I'm going to witness to the one who is coming. So that was John's job. And remember, Jesus is coming. That's what we celebrate on this weekend. Woohoo! Jesus is coming. And we take confidence in that, and we claim that. The second thing is that Jesus is light. We think about the candle. That's symbolic of the light that comes. In fact, in that first chapter of John, it says that John's job was to testify to Jesus, the true light which enlightens everyone who is coming into the world. In verse 9, you know, sometimes we can feel absolutely powerless and hopeless in dark and difficult situations. And the one thing that we need in our lives is what? The light of Jesus to shine into our lives. Long ago, there were people, prophets, who prophesied for this Messiah to come, and people lived in darkness until Jesus came, the light that shined into a difficult and hard situation. And it was Jesus, and He is the light. And finally, in verse 18, back in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. That's only the first part of that verse. The last part of that verse reads this: for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Giving thanks in all circumstances is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I don't know if you caught that, but I thought about that because I don't know about you, but I do much better when I'm working on God's will and in His will rather than mine. Life is better when my will is aligned with God's will. In fact, Pastor Leslie Holland said this: aligning our will to a prayerful awareness of God's will becomes the key for successful decision-making. As our human will seeks alignment with God through prayerful intimacy, our lives are altered by the prayerful insights received and by the involvement we offer after saying amen. So in the week ahead, as we continue this journey of prayer, I'd encourage you to experiment with a structured prayer called the Acts Prayer. How many of you heard of the Acts Prayer? I think a lot of you have. Maybe you try that. And it's basically adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But I have to tell you, this was several years ago when we lived in Indianapolis. I thought I was going to get some really interesting kind of feedback, have an interesting conversation too at the place where I went to get my hair cut. And it was the first time, it was a new stylist or whatever, and so she was cutting my hair, and somehow we got into the conversation at church, and she said, yes, I go to the Church of Acts. So I go to the Church of Acts. I said, this sounds pretty cool. I said, well, what's it all about? She goes, it stands for Anointed Christians Tormenting Satan. I'm like, seriously? Okay, that's not what this stands for. But adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It's an easy thing to do, and you don't even have to do it like during some set devotional time. It can be throughout the day. If during lunchtime or during afternoon or morning, where in your car, you can do that. It's very simple, easy to remember. In addition, continue to use those brown prayer cards. They're in your bulletins this week. And just give us feedback on that. We'd love to hear back from you. Some of the responses are on the website that we've heard from you, and it's really heartfelt and very genuine. So we encourage you to do that. And don't be anxious, the fact that Christmas is two weeks away. So you may still have some things to do. Remember to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, because Jesus is coming, and he is the light. And that's what we claim, and that's what we remember. What I'd like to do is end, and just kind of so you get an example for those of you who may not have, just pray, and I'm going to pray using the Acts prayer. If you please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we adore you. You are amazing beyond belief. We don't have the ability to understand you. You are awesome. Lord God, we adore you. We love you. We come before you. God, we confess our sins because we have messed up, each one of us. There are things that we've done that we may not want anyone else to know about, but you know about them, God. So forgive us for them. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for everything that we have in our lives, our families, our blessings that we get from you. And most of all, God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him the light that we know is coming. And God, we ask that you would just bless us and be with us because following you and waiting for your son Jesus this time of year is hard. So God, we just ask you, this is our great prayer request for all of us, that you would help us slow down and pray and wait for Jesus. And we ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.